play fake as Stafford drops in the pocket, looks right, looks left, now throws deep ball and wide open in the end zone. That is a Detroit touchdown.
We got a lot of work to do. And, you know, it's showing up against these good teams that, you know, no matter how much we think we can come back or whatever it may be, you can't do that against good teams.
Second down and 9, Tebow in the shotgun. Four-man rush. Tebow had the ball stripped, and it is free, and this is going to be a Detroit touchdown.
Personally, and as an offense, we just got to improve and get better and, you know, come out with, you know, just a little bit more juice. I know we had a good first drive, but we got to sustain that, you know, throughout that first half. And, you know, it's a disappointing.
Free play for Stafford, who throws the ball deep for Calvin Johnson, who has it. Foot race. Johnson steps out of a tackle by Champ Bailey. Touchdown, Detroit. Pressure on him. Tim sets, throws, pass is going to be intercepted at the goal line. And look out. Houston being chased by Tebow. Tebow will not get him. Houston with a 101 touchdown return of the interception.
And welcome back to another edition of Elway Live here on DenverBroncos.com. As I am every week, joined by Executive Vice President of Football Operations, John Elway. I'm Chris Hall. This is Elway Live. Thanks for joining us today. John, I want to go back quickly to a conversation you had with ESPN's Tom Jackson, former Bronco, when he was in the building last week getting ready for the Broncos game against the Lions. And something you said to him was, well, Tim Tebow's going out there, he's playing, and like a lot of young players, learning by fire, sometimes it's the best way to win. This week, Broncos didn't quite have that comeback in them, but either way, 45-10, Broncos lose. Tim Tebow and this offense, they are learning. They're trying to learn and get a little bit better. What do you think he learned this week?
Well, you know, it's hard. You know, we didn't make any strides this past week. I think when you look at the numbers and where we were, and again, we struggled on third down, and you know, in any offense, if you don't pick up third down, you're gonna have a struggle. You're gonna struggle with consistency, and that's where we were. And I think when you look back, we went back and looked at the film. We didn't make any strides this week, and you know, and as an offense as a whole, you know, not only the quarterback position, but we got to get better everywhere, and for us to be a better offensive team.
When you were watching the game and you saw that first drive, got to be encouraged considering the way the game started in Miami. I think a lot of the players in the offense talked about that. Hey, look, we got going nice and early. It felt good. We felt like we had something going, and then it just couldn't get sustained. I think maybe that potential touchdown that Eric Decker almost had in the end zone, maybe that going to a field goal, maybe that turned something. But players said, hey, look, we had it. What do you think kind of turn the rest of the game?
Well, I mean, I think that there was no question that was encouraging coming out. We ran the ball, mixed things up well, and as you said, you know, we just missed the Eric Decker touchdown but other than that, I mean, it was a very good start. Our issue is that we've struggled in the second quarter all year long. I think we've been outscored 83-20 in the second quarter. And so, you know, it's not something that was new this week, and the fact that we've had a tough time sustaining anything that we've done in the first quarter and carried it into the second quarter. So, obviously, looking at that first drive, everybody was encouraged. But then, you know, is that from that point on, you know, we stalled offensively. I think we had 7 straight 3-and-outs. And anytime you do that, it's going to put that much more pressure on your defense. And you know, obviously, they didn't play nearly as well as they'd liked either. We gave up 24 points in the first half. And when you're down 24-3 at half to a football team like that, it's very, very difficult to rebound from that in the second half.
As always, we're taking your questions through Twitter. Just be sure to include the hashtag Elway Live. John, let's get to the first question from Bobby Little here. Bobby's wondering, do you think Tim's confidence was possibly affected by Sunday's game? I think after the game he said, look, hey, we're going to work. We did some good things. That first drive was great. I think for any young player, for Tim, what is a game like last Sunday? How can that affect your confidence, and how do you prohibit it from perhaps affecting your confidence?
Well, I mean, anytime you come out and you don't make strides week to week, I think then, you know, that starts to create a little bit of doubt. And I think that, you know, obviously we're going to monitor that very closely and see how Tim does. But I think that, you know, anytime you don't make strides, it's always a concern because, not only Tim, but everybody starts wondering, okay, how are we going to figure this thing out? And I think confidence is a huge thing. especially with a young quarterback like Tim. So, you know, we're going to monitor that closely, and hopefully we can make some strides. And if we're making strides and you're getting better and you're learning from the things that are going on while you're in the fire, as we talked about, then you got a chance to improve, and therefore your confidence doesn't get hammered. But I think that, you know, if we don't make those strides, then there's no question it's a concern.
Last week, I know we talked a bit about how the offensive line was going to have a good battle with Ndamukong Suh in that front four. Chris Cooper, I think, spent most of the day with Ndamukong Suh. And a nice question from Ryan Franks. The O-line seemed to hold Suh in check. Were you pleased with the result of that matchup? You think maybe if you can slow him down a bit, you're doing some good things?
No question. I mean, Chris Cooper had a very good game against a very good football player. And you know, we all know by Sue's reputation, the rookie of the year last year, and then he's having a good year this year, and a guy that is a really dynamic football player, and Chris Cooper really did a good job there. But I think what we saw was not only is Sue a good football player, but they had several other on that defensive line that really could rush the passer. And then the way that they played us, you know, they were not a blitz team coming in, and, you know, they blitzed us and really stayed in the same coverage and played cover one, which is a straight man in the secondary with a free safety, and really tried to hem Tim in. They were going to make him throw the football back there in the run game. They had eight guys in the box all day, and so they were daring us to throw the football, and really in that situation as a quarterback, you got to lick your chops, because that's when you really got to take advantage of what they're giving you in the secondary, and they did a good job rushing us. You know, I think there was different times that we broke down up front, but then also when you're getting rushed like that, you have to get it out on time and get it out on target, and then have the wide receivers make big plays like Eric Decker did on the screen pass in the fourth quarter, where he's able to break a couple tackles and get in the end zone. So when you're playing a defense that's playing you like they played us that week, you got to have plays like that to get them out of that. You got to do things to take them out of that defense. You're going to see it all day.
Maybe you can remember this back during your first year, but I don't think this is just specific to maybe how this team would have played against Tim in this offense, but any young quarterback, you're going to dare them to throw until they can show you that they can't do it. They're going to keep doing that just to any young player.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. I mean, anytime, you know, especially with a guy like Tim, who's a mobile guy, and anytime, you know, a lot of times with mobile people, they try to smother them and make them get out, especially if their legs are their number one asset at that point in time when they're young like that and still going through the learning process of reading coverages and trying to figure out where you're hot or who's coming from where, that if you're half a step late getting it out of there, you know, it's going to be that much tougher, and the defense is going to take advantage of that. So, I mean, that happens to any young quarterback, but you got to show them that you can beat it.
Thanks again for sending in your questions. Again, we'll still take them for the next 21 minutes or so. Just include the hashtag Elway Live. With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall, and you're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Zone read. Lance Ball with a nice hole. Ball's loose inside the 40, 35, 30. Lance Ball inside the 25, pull down inside the 20.
As an offense, we have to, you know, play as a unit. You know, it takes all 11 guys, you know, to function. You know, sometimes, you know, if you slip up, you know, that can cause, you know, the end of another play. But, you know, just got to take a look at it and just fix it for next week.
From the gun, here comes pressure. Dawkins on a blitz. Stafford loads it up and throws. Pass is going to be tipped away and bobbled and then caught inside the Bronco 5 by former Bronco tight end Tony Scheffler.
That doesn't change our job. Our job responsibility is one thing, and that's to get off the football field. If we ever start buying to the fact that the offense is on the field and all of that stuff, that doesn't matter. Our job, like I said, is to get off the field, go three and out, give the offense back to Bob. They go three and out, then we give it back to them three and out. That's what we have to do as a defense, period.
You know what? It's difficult losing. I think the guys, we're tired of losing. And we're just trying to do whatever's necessary to come out there and be successful and get a win. And, whether it's on whatever side of the ball, as a team, we need to get better.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us for this week's Elway Live. Let's get right back to your questions. Pardon me. This next one comes, John, from Michael Hall. With so much that goes into moving the ball down the field, moving the chains, getting the end zone, Michael Hall's wondering, when you're talking about sacks, when you want to try to fix it, how do you first determine how things break down, how a sack occurs? Is it the line? Michael's wondering how much is on the quarterback, how much is it on guys getting open? There's a lot going on there. If you want to fix it, how do you first determine what's perhaps not working?
Well, it's a combination of all those things. Number one, it's getting the ball out there if you're outnumbered. If they're bringing an extra guy that you can block, and a lot of defenses these days are really what we call is hug linebackers. They'll blitz a guy, and if the back picks up the blitzer, then the guy covering the back is now a blitzer, which usually gives you a little bit more time. But again, you're going to be outnumbered and be, one short as far as blockers. And so when that's the case, the ball's got to get out of there quicker. And then again, if you do get it blocked, are we getting beat physically? Is somebody, and the thing is, everybody can take their turns getting beat, but if they take it all at different times, then you don't have very good protection. And so that's why it's so important for everybody to be able to hold up. And, the bottom line is, when they're coming out of you, coming after you, it's not going to hold up nearly as long as when they're not. And so, therefore, the ball's got to get out of there quicker and with a little bit more anticipation. And as we talked about, those are the times you have a chance to make the big plays. And receivers have to run great routes and get open quickly, catch the football, and try to get it there where they can catch it and run with the ball after they catch it. And hopefully if they break a tackle, then you got a big play.
How long does it take young players like there are on this offense, whether they're at the skill positions, whether they're along the line, or whether it's the quarterback identifying perhaps where it's coming from, where that press is coming from?
Well, and that's the learning curve in this league. I mean, this league is so much faster than any young guy that is coming out of college has not seen before. And so the speed of the game down in and down out is much quicker. And so, it's the learning process, and that's why you see these guys mature at year three, year four, because now they understand the speed of the game, where they have to be, and with the expectations of them getting to their spots, and then especially on the defensive side, once they get there, to be able to react, and then offensively to be able to adjust your sets up front, because sometimes, depending on blitz, the tackles have to change their splits. If they got a guy coming inside, they got to step down and pick a blitzer up on the inside. Meanwhile, they got to worry about a speed rusher on the outside. So there's a lot more to it than meets the eye, and especially at the tackle position where you have, in Orlando Franklin's case, sure, a very young guy that, is doing well for a rookie, but obviously he's going to get better as weeks go on, as he starts to understand, the speed at which you have to make the decisions on where to be.
With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall. This is Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. John, let's shift to the other side of the ball. Excuse me. Sean Edlund's wondering, what do you like about the performance of Robert Ayers over the last several games now that he's back at his position? He had a sack this week.
Yeah, and he's getting better. I mean, I think that he feels more comfortable with his hand in the dirt than he does playing an outside linebacker in the 3-4. He's down at the position that he played in college, and the reason why he was drafted into in the first round by the Broncos. And so then, he was projected to stand him up, and obviously that didn't work out as well. And so Robert's getting more comfortable week in and week out with the concept of the defense, what the defense is trying to do. As we've talked about probably every week, is the fact that, not having an offseason this last with the lockout this past year, this defense is brand new to everybody. And so, they're getting more and more comfortable with it week in and week out. And I see that, when you see guys playing better, like a Robert Ayers, and I think a lot of that has to do with they're getting more comfortable within the concept of the defense.
It's brand new for everyone. It's certainly very brand new for Chris Harris. And Pat Thompson's wondering, are you pleased with what you saw from Chris Harris last week? And, what do you think he's doing to earn the time he's getting? Coach this week, Dennis Allen said, hey, go out there, it's Calvin Johnson lining up. Sometimes we're going to put you on him. He made a really good play on Tony Scheffler. Scheffler just made a really good catch but he was there. He got his hand on the ball. It was just one of those plays.
Well, you know, I think that if you look at Chris Harrison, what he's done, I think you look at the mentality that he has, and he started on the special teams, and I think he's our leading special teams tackler and really does a tremendous job on that. And anytime you have young guys, what they understand coming into this league, especially as a college free agent like Chris was, is to make an impact, you make that impact on special teams. And he has made that impact. And even in training camp, I mean, he flashed the first day and the way that he competes, and you know, his ability to, you know, feel for the game. And so, you know, he's a type of guy that you want to have that type of mentality. And he's a tough guy, and you know, he's not afraid of Megatron. You know, he's willing to go out there and compete, do the best he can. As you said, against Scheffler, made a good play. Unfortunately, the ball bounced up, and Scheffler made a good play also. But he's continued to get better and better. And the thing about Chris is the mentality. You know, we'd love to have everybody have the same type of mentality and competitive nature that he has.
Another young player, Von Miller, who along with Willis McGahee were at Paris Elementary School this morning helping promote the NFL's campaign for NFL Play 60. Edward Smith wondering, Von Miller has been good in passing situations, but what are some ways maybe he can get more involved with the run?
Well, I mean, you know, Von's strength is still rushing the passer.
Right.
I mean, that's what he did in college.
Right. That's why he's here.
Excuse me, and we knew him, and we knew coming out that he was going to have to learn the linebacker position, especially coverages and where to drop and get a feel for, you know, how that all that it works, because it's like teaching him a brand new position. And again, we go back, as I just said, no off season,
right?
And no, you know, nothing to be able to train Vaughn. So I mean, the process is still slow when it comes to coverage and playing that linebacker position, not necessarily on the line, but when he's back in a stack position, getting a feel and being able to read from back there. So, you know, Vaughn's everything we thought he was as a pass rusher. He'll continue to get better, and you know, with each year, he'll get a better feel for playing that linebacker position because he is such a good athlete and really can make the adjustments. It's just a matter of him getting the reps doing it.
Is there a better way for these guys to learn than by fire? I don't care who we're talking about, what position, these young players who are out there playing, say, this week against a very powerful Detroit line team. Are there better ways to learn than by fire?
Well, who knows? I mean, I think the key thing, one of the things coaches have to do is figure out how, because everybody learns different, whether it be visual or by hearing or by reading or by writing and reading it back to themselves. And so, I mean, that's the art of coaching and teaching, is figuring out how they learn the best. You cannot duplicate game situations in practice, and the pressure of games and the speed of the games. And the only way you can get that is to play in games. You can't do it in practice, and you can't do it really sitting and watching it on tape. They have to understand it and be in the fire and you know, realize what it is. Now, you know, as we talked about with any young guy, it's a matter of, you know, you don't want them out there and failing, because obviously that will dent anybody's confidence. And so there's a fine line there to where the being in the fire is a detriment, or there's being in the fire is helping them get better at the speed that we'd like them to get better. So it's really kind of each individual as they work through it to see, you know, how each person learns the best.
5 days from now, that next test, that next trial by fire will be against division opponent, the Oakland Raiders. We'll talk a little bit about that in the next segment with John Elway. I'm Chris Hall, and you're listening to Elway Live.
Second down throw, screen to Eric Decker, who hops over one would-be tackler, spins away from another, to the 5, into the end zone, and Eric Decker, with a great job of running, has scored a Denver touchdown with 8:19 to go in the fourth quarter, the first touchdown of the game for the Broncos.
Collectively as a group offensively, we haven't done enough to move the chains, to get some momentum going, to get in a rhythm. And obviously, every position we've struggled, did stuff wrong, and we need to figure out a way where we can be confident enough in ourselves to make plays and to know that we can go down anybody and score.
On the outside, it's always the blame game. On the inside, it's always let's fix it game. And, there are different things to fix, not just the quarterback. As I mentioned, we've got some young guys playing on offense. And there's, issues that we have to address each week. They had a pretty good front four. The matchup that was going to be tough, and I think it was well publicized, was the Sioux matchup. And, that was one of the issues we had to address. I think overall, we did a pretty good job of that.
With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall. You're listening to Elway Live. This week, the Broncos will travel to Oakland, John, to face the Raiders, who will be two games into pulling off a trade with the Bengals and picking up Carson Palmer. The next question comes from Mark Newton wondering, do you think it's difficult for a quarterback like Carson Palmer to go from really not playing, really not practicing, to an NFL field mid-season? What are those challenges, and what did you see when they played? I think it was they had a bye this week, last week.
I mean, there's no question. I think that, it's not so much – because Carson Palmer's been in the league, I think, 7-8 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got the experience. He knows what to expect. He knows the feel. He knows the speed of the game. And so because of that experience, I mean, that's not going to surprise him. But any time that as a quarterback you miss training camp, you miss the first 6 weeks of the season, you haven't played, you're definitely going to be rusty. And then, put on top of that to go into a brand-new system, and learn the system to where, the terminology probably, the concepts for the most part, I'm sure in the passing game were pretty much the same, but it really comes down to retraining yourself as far as terminology and getting the plays in and out. And so I'm sure that, he'll be a lot better this week than he was 2 weeks ago when he went in against the Chiefs and having been there for 4 days before he played, now he's got 2 weeks under his belt with the offense. And so I'm sure he'll be a lot more prepared this time. But, there's still going to be some rust on him.
It helps when you have a back like Darren McFadden. The AFC West show is wondering, with the Raiders coming up, McFadden, I think he's gone for 100-plus against the Broncos the last three games. What can this team do to slow McFadden and their run game down?
Well,
maybe put some more pressure on Carson.
Well, I mean, that's the key thing. I mean, we're going to have to, make Carson beat us, because Darren McFadden, is definitely in the top three running backs in the NFL. And so anytime you have a running back like that, it's going to be very difficult to hold him down. And so in that situation, we'll see what the defensive game plan is. But I think that, you try to mix things up and try to, drop people in the coverage when you think they're throwing them, and then get eight in that box when you can to get that extra guy to stop the Darren McFadden's. Because if you don't do that and he gets some space and he gets into the secondary because of his speed and he's very elusive, that he's very tough, difficult to tackle.
You remember anything about going to Oakland? I know this rivalry gets a lot of play. I know when I go and I'm shooting the games in the sideline, I do not have anything that indicates Denver Broncos on me. I think my first year doing this, I made that mistake, and I pretty much paid for it. But do you remember when you went back, when you've been there, some memories that kind of stick out about playing in Oakland?
Well, in my career against the Raiders, it started with playing. We played in L.A. for the 80s, most of the 80s and early 90s. And so, I mean, we struggled a little bit, against them in L.A., but we had much more success in the 90s in Oakland. But, you go there and you understand the love that they have for the Raiders, and you see all, all shapes and sizes there with the face paint and the hair and the, you just go there knowing that there's going to be a lot of things said that you're not going to be able to repeat to your family or kids. And so, it's a tough place to play. But like anywhere, if you can get out and be successful and control the ball and, take them out of the game early, hopefully.
In division game, these games kind of, count for two almost. And with right now with how close the division is, I mean, let's talk about how this could be just a good spark, maybe kind of get things going, especially if you can go do it on the road before you have to go on the road again next week to Arrowhead.
Yeah, you know, and it's always a little bit more difficult trying to break, you know, when you're not playing really well on the offensive side. It's always tough to break that, but, you know, and improve a lot on the road. But I think that, you know, you never know when it's coming, and I think that there's always hope that we're going to start playing really well, real good football, and start getting some turnovers and do some things that and not turn the football over and do some things that get us going to be able to win games. But, you know, there's no question going into playing the Raiders in Kansas City the next 2 weeks that, you know, if we can win the next two, then we're right back in the hunt for the division. And so, you know, but we got to take it one at a time. It's the Raiders this week. And so, you know, we've just got to figure out a way to play better and, you know, hopefully create some turnovers and create some big plays because they're going to come after us again. We're going to see the same thing this week, guaranteed. And so we just got to prove to them that we can beat it.
Is there something to be said about going on the road as a team knowing that there's – really no one else in the building pulling for you? You kind of lean more on one another. You got to have maybe some more trust and faith in one another. Is there something there when you're out there, you're in the huddle and you're lining up that, hey, let's do this for the guy next to you? Could you feel that when you go on the road?
You know, I think there's always there's always the mentality that anytime you go on the road and you go with 53 guys and a coaching staff that it's us against the world and you know we're all in our own, the same bunker together and I got your back and you got your back, and so there's no question that that's the mentality really taken on the road anywhere that you go. Hopefully we can band together this week and pull one out in Oakland.
Let's sneak one more question here. This is from Edward Smith, and John, this goes more to what your role is now down the hall as an evaluator. He's wondering, how does the front office work with scouting in terms of putting grades on an NFL player when he becomes a free agent? How does the staff do that? We hear a lot from you and from Brian Zanders around draft time about grading college players when they're coming out. Is there a difference? How does it work when you're looking at players that become free agents here in the league?
Well, I mean, where we are is we have two departments. We have a pro personnel department as well as a college department. So, you know, the college department's responsible for the young guys coming out of college, and I think we have 9 scouts that are on the road, almost year-round, grading players as well as directors, and that's kind of Matt Russell's our director of college personnel, and then we have the pro personnel side, which is under Keith Kidd, and so they go and grade every unrestricted free agent that's coming out.
Everybody
in the NFL. So anybody that's a UFA is graded by our pro department, and at the end of the season we'll go through and then. Free agency will start after the league year, which I think is March 3rd, 4th, 5th, somewhere in there. And once free agency opens, and so that's what we'll spend our time in January, February, is getting ready for free agency and grading all the free agents in the NFL.
Football year never ends. I think you're learning that maybe now more than you did as a player. Edward, great question. Thanks for sending it in. And thanks to all of you who submitted questions to Elway Live this week. And now on denverbroncos.com/Elway Live, you can find all the archived podcasts from the shows John and I have done on Tuesdays throughout the season so far. John, thanks again for your time. I'm Chris Hall. This has been Elway Live on denverbroncos.com. Thanks for listening.